long. And when I say it, then it's the God. You never know. It might go very swiftly. I rewrote a whole set of notes this week, and I threw away 3/4 of the material. All right, this talk and the next one are difficult for me to present. And it's the difficulty. Last time, the title was Look at Ethers. And this time, the title of the talk is Ether, Jules, My Age. Rather than jump immediately, let's do some up in the exploring. However, I don't have any stories in the topic. So what I'll do is just tell man, and some kind of crime, sent to a prison. And everything is what he expects it to be. Sent at night, and so now we all have to go to bed. And the lights get turned off, and then all of a sudden somebody in the prison tells 54. Somebody else, lights out, I go to bed. Jokes. George says, well, some people just ought to tell a story.
Harder than before, than what the other two.
I didn't hear that one before.
Always good to work into things in stories. Stories originate from the higher spiritual worlds where all abstract ideas are, and all societies communicate by stories. Some societies more than others. Our society, cell phones and all, I don't think that would be a good society. I think that the people that have the cell phones. I had a friend once who was both an astrologer and an actor. And he came out as an actor in New York City. He came out to drama class as Dustin Hoffman. And they were good friends for years. This man followed astrology more than he followed drama, but he followed both of them. He was a student of drama. Of the part of drama in society. And he said, what were extremes? And one was that he was in Jewish culture up in Canada, that only one time a year they acted out a play. It was always the same play, and he acted it out only one time a year, and that was at the summer solstice. And he said, the other extreme was in Africa, and that there was a pygmy tribe, or it is a pygmy tribe, there are hunter-gatherers, and their activity is after they come back to the village at night, in the evening, around the campfire, they all act out all of the activities in which a person stayed, so that the whole tribe is experiencing everything each person has experienced. Something like a debriefing, and it was something like a retrospection, and society, it was like a psychodrama. And they did this to maintain the health of the community. And they were very peaceful people. In our society, it's something like that. Kids come home from school, and they tell everything that happened at school. Spouses come home, the question comes out, and how was your day today? You need to tell the story of your day. Now, all of this is a segue into bringing you into some of the details of my own life. This is the third composition of this lecture, and the first time I composed the notes for this, right? It was a springtime experience. And I'm a gardener. I'm not a very skilled gardener, but I'm still in this role. And every year, I learn things from the garden, philosophical things, because there are things involved in the things in the garden. Of course, every year, I seem to make a new kind of blunder. And gradually, blunders. In the springtime, when I first gave this talk, something remarkable happened to me just as I started working the notes. I was walking down the street, and a robin flew right into the street and barely missed being run over by a car. The robin was going to be a piece of straw. And I thought that was really remarkable. I thought my swallows. And barn swallows build mud nests right in the bog where animals were coming and going and were nervously hatching their eggs and feeding their young and such like that. And as kids, we used to love to watch the swallows go out. They'd fly out and they'd take off things, mosquitoes or insects, and sometimes they'd get more. And sometimes they would regurgitate. And they would feed the baby swallows in that way. Now, we're talking about growth. And we're talking about soul food. We're talking for the second time now about building the soul body. And we can't do that in the same way that the swallows did with element for their babies. In order to have soul material, we have to live, and we have to part of our own. So the next evolutionary step for us is to be able to live in the ethers, to live in the energy, apart from the physical body. The physical body, the physical world won't even be here. So everything that is going to be our future living is a consequence of what we do now. And if we do the right kinds of action, have conscious effort in moving our soul bodies, we can actually make up for ourselves and get the body and function in the ethers before the world is dissolved, and we can be ready for that. But we have to reach out for the soul food because nobody's going to give it to us. It has to be from ourselves alone. Have to live ourselves into it. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't get influence from people, and it doesn't mean that we don't go deep in the spiritual world in prayers and bring down a higher kind of consciousness and humanize it for the use of other people. But that's not the same thing as making a vehicle in which someone is going to live. Now, that said, a repetition of what we talked about last time, building, when we talked about building the soul body. This time, let's look at some very fundamental things in different ways. Now, we said last time that there are four ethers, and that they are usually divided according to function. And that the two lower ethers, which are the chemical and the life ether, called biological ethers. And that's because they have to do with the maintaining of living form. They build it, maintain it, regulate it, transform it. These are all activities of the ethers that are related to the man's physical body. Because they are attached to this world of extreme limitation, they themselves have limitations. Like all of the ethers, they exist both in a flux or in a fluid, and they live in a formal state. And like all of the ethers, they are polar. So we have a polar something that can be in a more formal state and in a more fluid state. The biological ethers, stay with the body. The chemical ether is exclusively active in the building of form. The matrix, or the formation, that is our dense body, is built as a thought form much deeper in the spiritual world before we come to rebirth. It is a very complex creative thought that is built by the spirit and by the will to live. The will to live sets it spinning, brings it to life. So all of our bodies are built by thought. But the thought is limiting what we have learned from all of our present lives in physical forms, all the way up to mineral-like existence in a way, way, way distant time. This kind of world didn't even exist. So, in the ethers, the chemical ether is a formation or a matrix in which chemical elements, carbon, hydrogen, all of the other elements that comprise our body, they are built in the body, and when they are no longer useful to us, or if we need some kind of change, they are expelled. Now, the attraction to the formation is accomplished at the positive pole of the chemical ether. And it is done in the process of absorption and in anabolism. Repulsion from the formation is accomplished at the negative pole of the ether, and it is accomplished through the process of elimination fundamental way in the process of metabolism. Let's look at some practical aspects of this so that this isn't just too didactic, too dry. Each of us has a unique mold. And each of our bodies has a unique character. We're not allowed really to judge someone else's body because they have had totally different evolutionary experiences. Ours to judge them. So our bodies are unique. Now we've all gone through pretty much of a common evolution. So there are pretty much common nutritional needs that each of us has. But each of us also has a different kind of metabolism. Therefore, it behooves each of us to so that we can, by experimentation or the study of astrology or other means, that we can understand what is the optimal amount and kind of food to give our bodies. When we do this, it keeps us from amassing large amounts of food which we have to carry around and try to process and things like that. We waste a lot of energy. I have found, and it's law to me by now, that if I eat less and I eat less regularly, I don't need to sleep much because I haven't spent that much energy in the process of digestion. Obviously, when there's not so much stuff there, the efficiency of the digestion is improved. Now, the ethers are under the control of our consciousness. It's true that the matrix is built in between rebirths when we before we come back to rebirth, but with our waking consciousness, we can change it to the degree that we are deep thinkers, magical thinkers, that we can change form to that extent, we can change it. We can even change the shape of our body in simple ways. For example, we can attract a lot to the positive pole. Can absorb too much so that we have ungainly weight. And we can have the opposite happen. We can have wasting conditions. We can, by a psychological attitude, produce anorexia, something like that. But this is something just for our consciousness, for our own well-being, so that we can have optimal function. As human beings, it's a good thing that we have confidence that we can control. You know, there's a lot of things we learned to gain control of the negative pole when we were potty trained. Before that, we were just little balls of shit and snot and whatever, and we had no control at all. The life ether is concerned with growth, vitality, regulation, and reproduction. Every kind of reproduction. Reproduction of each and every cell. This means that there is a stuff of vitality. It's a fluid stuff, and there is a flux and a flow of vital energy that is probably as important as the stuff of it. And this is a polarized flow, subject to even a little bit to electromagnetism, but certainly a lot to animal magnetism, and as being able to heal with the hands, you can prove to yourself. Again, the positive pole is active and directive in creation. The negative pole is receptive. Now, all growth and reproduction depends on mitosis, and that is the activity that is initiated by the positive pole of the life ether. Now, one of the practical aspects of this is that we realize that between the life ether and the chemical ether, there are differences. Chemical ether works with chemical. The life ether works with life, but in its union with the chemical ether, it works with other kinds of chemistry. This means that the physical body and the chemicals in it, there are different nutritional needs there than there are with the vital body, the etheric body. Each one of these two bodies is nourished differently. Simplified food, which is cooked food, is good for the body. It's easy to digest chemically. You get it into you much more quickly. But life ether is driven out of food when it's cooked. So that if you eat only cooked food, or if you eat non-vital food, you become vitiated. We are not exclusively caloric beings. It's undeniable that we are caloric, but there is also vitality. We burn the calories, but it's also important for us to have food that is filled with life. We have to bathe, so to speak, ourselves in life to be healthy. If we don't, we're not going to have the best health that we can have. These are things we can prove to ourselves. Our physical body can have healthy cell production if we eat a lot of raw fresh fruits and vegetables. Things become difficult when our diet becomes overbalanced to just the chemical digestion from processed food. What happens is then, because there is not enough of the healthy flow going through the life ether, the reproductive ability runs amok. We have rapid growth, which is what you call cancer. Cancer is when a cell that was normally a good cell gets out of whack and it starts reproducing, and it starts reproducing without control. There are limits in the life ether, just as there are in the chemical ether. To some extent, we have a reservoir of vitality, but it's only so much. This means that we can't eat something like 2 gallons of carrot juice every day and become more and more vital, so that we're going to be super vital people or something like that. It just isn't going to work. In fact, what you experience is when you take in a lot of plant-like food and you have of well-being that comes with a rich vital feeling from life ether in your vital body, you feel peaceful. Whereas if you take food that is only cooked, you feel enervated. Of course, then you take so much of it in that you become stupefied, but that's not the same thing as peace. All right. So we can see that there has to be some kind of a balance. Now, familiarizing ourselves with the functions of the ether. this in very simple ways is very practical. Now, contrary to popular belief, pursuing even higher and more rare spiritual things is even more practical. It's not practical in a worldly wise sense, but it's practical in a much higher sense. When we're talking about higher things, we're talking about things whose duration approaches eternity. So we're not talking about a quick fix for today, which is one kind of practicality. We're talking about an eternal practicality. Now, the two things do not have to be incompatible with each other. We can be practical in a worldly sense, and we can be practical in a higher spiritual sense. Probably the best of both worlds. However, we don't try to take these spiritual things and finalize them here on earth. Our goal is not to produce heaven on earth. It can't be done anyway, because the whole of this world is a limitation. And for the spiritual worlds, especially the transcendental worlds, it's unlimitation. Done. So when it comes to even in ethers, there are no limits in the soul ethers. No limit to how much you can get, you know, like in a human being. I think it's the heaviest a human being's ever been, about 1,200 pounds, right? Something like that. There are limits. The soul ethers, there are no such limits. They are called soul ethers because they represent the usable essence, the soul of the experience of our lives. They're called soul ethers also because they relate us to the higher spiritual worlds, worlds of soul, worlds that are made up of meaning. They are also called soul ethers because they are our vehicle when we leave the dense physical body and have soul trips into the spiritual worlds. Even when we wake up on the other side in what are called true dreams. The soul ethers are the light and the reflecting ethers. And we'll briefly examine them, trying to be practical without being technical, because this is not esoteric course. This is meant to be a series of talks using a lot of things. The negative pole of the light ether is receptive, informative, just as the negative pole of all of the ethers are. Since we have very little time in this series, since this is very introductory, we'll spend a little bit of time light ether. Light ether is all about coloration and human beings, skin color, eye color, pigmentation. That's little, you know, it's not like we're parrots or clowns or something like that, where coloration is highly important. One thing that is important about simple absorbing light is called vitamin D. It's produced at the negative pole of the light ether. You study the chemistry. It's quite interesting how the uniform effect cascades and how the vitamin D is produced. It's a marvelous thing. One thing produces another, and it ends up being vitamin. This is, you know, a very practical thing. Get out in the sun. This is another pitch to everybody. I'm like Michelle Obama. I want everybody in the garden. Therefore, everybody should be starting gardens. There's one thing that is very, very important about the negative pole of the light ether. That is, it is responsible for sense perception. Now, many ancient schools were preoccupied with matter in the external world as illusion. That's not true with Western mystery schools. They stress the importance of sense perception, but without attachment or without identification with our senses. For men, that's a difficult thing. They like to have objects of the senses to identify with. Great pains were taken in the earliest stages of our evolution to make possible the developments of sense organs. So the evolutionary condition is purposeful, and it purposefully ensured that we had created the seeds of our sense perception. A large part of our work right now as human beings in the evolutionary process is to consume the outer world. To consume the outer world spiritualize it. And this work is mostly done through perception. Now, there are even immediate short-term goals that come in this from using and perfecting perception. Mystics have found that if we are very careful about our perception, if we look at things clearly and see things very clearly, the effect of that is our inner consciousness becomes clear. We need to say that if we see the world as a blur and don't pay attention to any detail, our inner consciousness can't grow. A lot of people have made the spiritual process just in the process of perception. So, it's not a bad thing to learn how to draw, or even how to mimic sounds of nature. Those are good things to do to improve your perception. Now, the positive pole of the light ether has to do with the effect of light on heat and circulation. Now, scientific seers that have made studies of this have unusual things to say about it. They say that positive pole of the light ether is partially responsible for circulation. They're saying that the ethers in the blood cause the circulation. Now, they even go so far as to claim that the blood itself is not only a liquid with fibrin and minerals in it, that there is a gaseous element to it, a metastate or a metaphysical state, so that it is only a liquid when the blood vessels are open and the ethers escape into the air. In this metastate, in the bloodstream, the life spirit focuses directly. And it manifests directly to do for us to act in certain ways. And because of its presence, it impels or it drives the blood. Now, when material scientists hear this, they roll their eyes. And they scoff and they say that all circulation is due to one of three things: the heart, or vasoconstriction, or in the case of capillary action. But from their own studies, it turns out that in the early stages of the fetus, there is circulation of blood before there is a heart, before there is vasoconstriction. And it is not tied to either the mother or to capillary action, but there is a circulation of blood. This is something, you can find scientific papers on it. It's one of those things they say, well, it's an anomaly. Now, there is folk awareness of this because of some people. For example, we say, oh, she has music in her blood. That doesn't mean just genetics. It's like it's in the blood. And you say, when we do things from the whole circulatory system, we say that we become altruistic when we do things from the goodness of our heart. We say that John does a lot of things from the goodness of his heart. Or we say that somebody does heartfelt acts of kindness, or someone has a lot of heart. Talking about the blood system, which has nothing to do with the brain, or little to do with the brain. It has its own little brain called the synovial node, but it has its own system. The practical thing about this is that every time that we do something altruistically from the good of our heart, we make the heart more into a voluntary muscle. Because there is both voluntary and involuntary muscle in the heart. And the more altruistic one is, the more there is of the muscle that is for voluntary control. The thing that we're most interested in at this time is that when we do things altruistically, and literally not selfishly, we attract light into our aura. We literally walk into light. We have more stuff to convey sense perception through. Sight, the perceptions of distance, the most important ones, but we have more of that. And when we attract more of that, we walk around with more light and we're more encouraged to do that. And when we have more light either, we are more intuitive. The vital bodies of women are polarized positively, and they are that way. Are the ones that in the reproductive process that have to build bodies. This is why bursts of strength are found in men, but endurance, plant-like endurance, is found in women because of the polarization of the ethers. So loving self for getting service is the best way to advance spiritually because it gives us more of the stuff that we need for advancing. Now, again, the beautiful thing about this is that there's no limit to how much we can attract to ourselves. We can only be so large physically, but we can be ever more brighter in our consciousness. In fact, if we have sufficient amounts of soul ethers in our body, function apart from the body. So the more we serve unselfishly, the more we progress ourselves, the more we progress all of humanity, because in this we are all connected in spirit. The more we do to free ourselves from ignorance and from darkness, the more that we will have that feeling of freedom, freedom to detach and leave here. Let's quickly pass on here. Things and make sure that this doesn't take too long. There are 8 pages of notes, and each page really takes about 15 minutes. As we progress into the more and more rare ethers, polarity becomes more differentiated. From inorganic chemistry, we can see polarity, that things obey polarity exactly, there are no anomalies. As soon as we add to the chemical process the life ether and produce inorganic chemistry, we find that the polar bonds are not so strong, and we have all of those complexities of organic chemistry that can come about because of those loose bonds. This loosening of the polarity increases throughout the soul ethers. Like the human being, sense perception and pigmentation are far removed memory. And the activity of the positive pole of the reflecting ether is thought ramification. This you can find from the experience of demonesses. Demonesses are people who have those startling memories. When they are performing those feats of memory, they're incapable of delineating thoughts. And it's folklore, but we have those people who are deep, profound, abstract thinkers being absent-minded in their memory. Now, there are many different kinds of memory associated with the brain and the ethers and all together. Long-term memory, short-term memory, eidetic memory, which is a